The contrarian thesis. If you came out of the 26 hours with your body tense, good, eh? That is exactly the right state for reading what follows. This chapter is the deep water of the book, the most demanding reading I will ask of you, and I do not intend to apologize for it. I will only give you my hand on the way in, the way the debt you just watched me sign gave me its own. You have just read how an entire industry lives off selling you a future you. This chapter is the answer, the stance I hold in its place. I call it the contrarian thesis, and although you have already watched it at work on every previous page, it deserves to be stated once, whole, with its reasons and its limits. It is this: identity of a person or an institution is not a future promise reached by climbing toward an external destiny, but a present reality your current thoughts, acts, and habits already reveal. You are what you do and control today. Everything else is advertising. The word thesis is chosen with care, and the distinction is not pedantry. A theory claims to explain an entire domain with predictive power. It tells you how everything works and what will happen next. A thesis is something else, humbler and more honest, a claim defended with reasons and evidence. I do not propose a closed system of the human being. I hold a stance. This is what I claim, and here is why, and I submit it to the same scrutiny I applied to my own phrase. If one day the evidence knocks it down, I will let it go the way one lets go of a shoebox that has done its work. In the meantime, I argue it, and the word contrarian, an anglicism I adopt as is, borrowed from contrarian investing, the school that bets against the market's consensus when one's own evidence contradicts it, marks that this thesis opposes a dominant paradigm. Not out of temperament, out of argument. The interesting part is that the paradigm it confronts is double, and its two faces seem to have nothing to do with each other until you look closely. The first face is existential. The self-help industry, the smoke industry, the one we have just dissected, sells a better self that lives in the future and is reached by steps. Visualize, climb, become. Identity as a destiny to be conquered. The second face is technical, and it is the one I discovered first. With my hands, the paradigm of the cloud and of software as a service sells present convenience in exchange for future structural dependence. Enter cheap, grow comfortable, and the real price emerges precisely when leaving costs more than staying. You saw it in the invoice that jumped from $1,900 to $24,000 a month. Two different industries, one same operation, charging you today against a tomorrow that they administer. The contrarian thesis denies both promises with a single argument. What you are and what you control today is the only operative reality. Deferral does not abolish that reality. It obscures it until the price becomes inevitable. You will pay tomorrow for what you refuse to see today, in interest, in rent, in years not lived. Taken apart into its pieces, the thesis claims five things. First, identity, at every instant, is the observable set of your thoughts, acts, and habits of that instant. There is no true future self, of which the present is a mere corridor. Second, postponing identity, you will be who you are once you achieve such and such, is magical thinking, because it separates the agent from the only evidence he possesses. Third, you can only read and verify who you are if you control the records that evidence it. When your data, your files, your history live on someone else's infrastructure, that reading is mediated by a third party who can change the terms tomorrow. I call this sovereignty as legibility. Fourth, one stance toward data and one stance toward identity are the same principle in two registers, technical and existential. That is why this book can leap from Aristotle to a Dell Power Edge R510 server without changing the subject. And fifth, renting always follows the curve of the hook. Cheap at the start, expensive once the dependence is structural. And that holds equally for a software subscription and for a promise of personal transformation. It matters to me to show you the lineage of this stance, because an idea that hides its parents does not deserve trust, and because the lineage also shows, station by station, where I part ways with them. I begin with the ancients. Seneca wrote, 2,000 years ago, the classic formulation of deferred living. We do not live. We prepare to live. I take his diagnosis whole. Life leaks away toward a tomorrow that administers it. But Seneca prescribed a discipline. Attend to the present. Aristotle, for his part, distinguished energeia from dynamis, act from potential, and held that being shows itself in the act. From him, I take that manifestation. And here I part ways with both, taking the step they did not take, where Seneca orders a discipline and Aristotle still reserves a place for potential. I deny that there is any future self the present would be building, and I collapse potential as a category of identity. As far as who you are is concerned, only the actual counts. From discipline to ontology, that is my first departure. From the ancients to the moderns, the problem changes shape but not substance. It is no longer the discipline. It is what the self even is. Borgson rejected, as I do, being as a fixed destiny. And I thank him for the rebellion, but he dissolved identity into the flow of becoming, the self as a river that is never the same. Sartre said that existence precedes essence, and projected identity forward, into the project. The project one throws toward the future. One dissolves the self. The other launches it. Both remove it from the only place where it can be verified. Borgson turns the self into a river. Sartre shoots it forward like an arrow. I anchor it in something more stubborn, the observable present. Your habits are not your project. They are your evidence. That is my second departure, and it is the one this thesis deliberately inverts against Sartre. And from the moderns to our contemporaries, the lineage lands on data. The critics of the deferred life plan, Randy Commissar, Herminia Ibera, documented, with cases and entire careers, the cost of postponing life in the name of a future reward. Years build against a life that never gets collected. I share their diagnosis in full. But they stop at the warning. Postponing is expensive, and I radicalize the verdict. It is not merely that postponing is expensive. It is that the thing you postpone for has no status as reality. You are not overpaying for a future good. You are paying for nothing. That is the third departure, and it is the one that holds up the whole building. Spelled out in full, as this house demands, these sources are canonical, and I cite them from worked memory, their references still being checked against the printed editions. The lineage is honest, the fine-grained verification, like everything in this book, travels in plain sight. And what is a thesis like this for? In practice, it serves as a razor. When someone offers you something, a method, a service, a version of yourself, ask the offer which side of time it lives on. If it pays you in verifiable present, a server that works, an invoice that drops, an act you can perform today, listen to it. If it charges you in the present and pays you in a future it administers, you already know what it is. The rest of the book is that razor at work. First, we will agree on the vocabulary, because half of all disagreements are about definitions. And then come three stories. A photo lab in Matamoros, a photographer in Huntsville, and an agricultural company in Wenatchee. Three stories where identity was not promised. It was executed.